So it is the week ending November 11th, 2022, and Martin and myself catch up to discuss all things in the Wasp world as they stand right now. We touch on the end of season party that Wasp UK is hosting in Rutland and all the social action that is going to happen, as well as all the on-water action. We look at the SailGP partnership and what's been developing in North America. We look at all the future events occurring in 2023, including the European Championships, the Wasp Games, and the Americas Championships, plus plenty, plenty more.
In a few days on the weekend, we got the End of Season Championships in the UK, which is the first time it's happened, and it's just basically it's a pretty casual event racing-wise with major weight put towards the social. So, we've got a Hawaiian-themed social going on, which hopefully our Hawaiian friends don't feel is offensive with the effort that we make. Wait till we see the photos and see if we look anything like Hawaiians. Looking forward to that.
So I've heard a fair bit about this, and in the past there's been some pretty big events at Rutland. The Nationals have been there in the UK before, and things like that. What's the attraction of that? And I guess how does that all fall in with the Wasp lifestyle?
Yeah, so it's a funny place, really. When I was, prior to Wasp sailing, all of my thoughts of Rutland went back to being in top of squad when I was a kid and it being freezing cold and staying in this like really dated accommodation and not being very fun. But obviously, as soon as you go foiling, sailing on a lake is pretty attractive because it's nice and flat. So Rutland is possibly the biggest bit of water in the UK. There's some facts around that. I'm not sure exactly what it is. But the great thing about it is that the club is pretty big, has a lot of space, has accommodation on site, and there's a campsite literally over the road from the sailing club. So the main thing is everybody is just in one place at one time, and you're pretty much guaranteed that. It's not like people go home at the end of the day and drive 15 minutes away to wherever their hotel is. So it's pretty cool because you get off the water, hopefully had some great racing, but then you're straight into the bar, straight into the chat, discussing how things went, bit of dinner, a few drinks, if you're over 18, of course. And then, just see where it takes you. And history shows there's been quite a lot of after parties in camper vans and stuff like that, which might be on the cards this time. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, nice. So just for people, internationals that are listening in, whereabouts is Rutland positioned in the UK?
Rutland is bang in the middle of the UK, pretty much.
Yeah.
So it's easily accessible from almost anywhere, unless you live on the Isle of Wight like I do, in which case you've got to get a ferry and then drive 3 hours. But 3 hours in the UK is a medium distance, whereas for you Aussies, you'd say that's just around the corner. So
yeah, exactly.
Cultural differences. But yeah, it's bang in the middle of the UK, so it's really easy to get to. The place itself, there's basically nothing there. It's just in the middle of countryside, but there's this great piece of water and an awesome club.
Yeah, nice. I think it's awesome to see. I mean, there's been a lot of, pretty, I wouldn't say serious events, but some major events, over this year. And I guess it's like everything with sport, it's great to be able to, have an event or have something where you can just wind down and let your hair down, and it's not too serious, and it's inclusive for everyone to get there and just have a bit of fun. And one of the things we've pushed pretty hard from Wasp is this culture side of things, where doesn't matter whether you're just starting out learning or whether you're out there winning Wasp games, everyone's on a level playing field when they get off the water. And there's plenty of information that's shared and just a good time. So, I feel like events like this are really integral to the Wasp fleet, which is fantastic. So just moving on, just around the world, we've had the Australian season has kicked off. We've had a couple of really good events. We've run two slalom events, pure slalom events. So one in Victoria and one in New South Wales. Been pretty well attended with around 20 boats at each of them. There was a great one up at Pittwater, up at Palm Beach, which is a pretty glamorous place. It's a very picturesque place to sail. And they got good weather for that, and that's pretty cool to see that format evolving and some different ways of doing that. So Martin, what else have you got ear to the ground? What else is going on around the world?
Yeah, so we've got so the Europeans next year in Quiberon, which everybody knows. Hopefully they're ready to sign up. But entry for that is going to open up very, very soon. So looking forward to getting that opening and getting some buzz around that, because that is a wicked place to sail. The foiling it's awesome. It's in this perfectly protected bay, prevailing wind straight over very low land. So you get a nice breeze, and then just over the other side there's a massive beach that's got surfing and sunsets, and it's just cool
Sounds
holiday place. So
pretty good to me. Yeah. Yep.
yeah, no, it's not terrible. The French people always talk about how great France is for sailing, but in this case they are actually telling the truth. That is pretty good. And then other internationals, we've got soon to be announced, we've got America's 2023, which is pretty close. So hopefully something exciting comes out of that.
And we've seen some just on the Americas. I mean, North America in particular. I mean, we've seen some awesome growth there. Over this season, over 2023. Our partnership with SailGP Canada has been fantastic. I think they've done something like over 500 demos in Canada this year. The fleet's grown dramatically over there. They're running some consistent events. The US fleet, we ran our first Americas championships in San Francisco just prior to the SailGP Inspire. So it's there's a strong contingent in Hawaii, which you touched on before. So there's plenty happening in North America, and I think it's pretty exciting for 2023.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. The Canadian partnership, when that first came about, the target was 400 demos, and we sat back and thought, wow, 400, that's quite a lot. That'll be impressive if that happens, and they've far exceeded that. So it's been a massive, massive year for Canada especially, and the fleet has pretty much doubled in the last year. So hopefully we'll see a lot of return from those demos as well, and by the time the Americas come around in 2023 and then onwards in 2024, the fleet is actually going to be pretty big. This year's Americas, we had high 30s on the entry list, but next year, 50s, the year after, 80s, 100 maybe. It's just going to get bigger and bigger. So there's been a little bit of lag in the Americas behind Europe, mainly just because everyone's so spaced out, I think, in terms of geography, not high.
But
And,
yeah,
uh,
I guess
And
there's a lot go with that now. There's been a bit of stimulus that's been put in there, and it seems like everyone's jumping on board, and there has been a little bit of a changing of the guard and a few boats changing hand, and maybe some younger sailors getting involved, particularly in Canada. So that's really exciting to see that. And as you say, there was a little bit of a lag there on what's been happening in Europe, but I mean, it's like honestly, I think it's ready to explode in 2023. I think it's going to be fantastic. And just touching on 2023, we're obviously in Australia. We're looking forward to the International Wasp Games coming up. We've got nationals in Perth. You talk about distances. Majority of the there's about 25 boats in Perth, but majority of the fleet is going to have to travel about 4,500 kilometers to get there. So that'll be nice and fun, but it looks like we're going to get a 45 to 50 boat fleet there, which is really quite impressive. That's the home of the 2019 Wasp Games, and I know people who attended that event have got a lot of fond memories of Western Australia and the breeze and the Swan River. And I know that everyone in Australia is really looking forward to welcoming everyone in 2023 down to Sorrento in Australia, in Melbourne. It's going to be a fantastic regatta. The dates are set for that major event, which is the 9th through to the 16th of December. In terms of that, we'll have an Australian Nationals before that. So if you want to get in early, you can get in early. The club's been fantastic. It'll basically be open to us for the whole month of December down there, and it's just a great area to come down to holiday. You talk about Quiberon, similar sort of setup in Sorrento. You've got basically a band of land that's about 500 meters to a kilometer wide across there, and essentially the breeze comes across it. You got surf beaches on the back and beautiful flat water, clear, crystal clear water on the inside where we're going to be sailing. So that's going to be pretty special. I know we're working really hard to get you know, a 40-foot container from Europe, which would be great. It'd be fantastic to see the UK guys and girls getting involved as well. And I know there's been plenty of interest from the US, and there's definitely a container coming from New Zealand. So from an international standpoint, it's going to be it's looking really positive. And from an Australian standpoint, you know, we'd be probably disappointed if we didn't get, you know, over 80 boats just from Australia. So you're looking at another, you know, well over 100 boat fleet, you know, which is just unreal down in Australia with all the distances and everything like that. And, you know, if you want to stay on, you know, there's plenty to do, you know, Christmas down under. You know, there's a Boxing Day test if you're into cricket down in Melbourne. There's fireworks up in Sydney. You know, it's just a great place to be. Sydney to Hobart start on Boxing Day as well. You know, all the finish down in Hobart. So there's plenty of things going on. You know, it's great to see so many events on the WASP calendar you know, coming up. We've, you know, I know you've been working really hard behind the scenes to, you know, get the calendar, you know, a couple of years ahead, you know, with everything so people can really plan. And you know, back to, you know, the values and the culture of what we're trying to grow here is, you know, we really just want to go to great locations. We really want to, you know, find some hidden gems, you know, of foiling paradise, basically. Go there, put on a great show, and do that. So that's really, really great that we're able to do that. You got anything else, Martin? I know, Sail GP Inspire, we're halfway through the season there. We've got some pretty impressive numbers that have been rolling through, which is cool too.
Yeah, no, that's wicked. The only other thing to add at the moment, I guess, is that, like you say, we're trying to get a couple of years ahead so people can really plan in. So by the end of the, well, we've got the Europeans opening up, we've got the Americas 2023 about to be announced, got the WASP Games 2023 that you've just talked about, and then by the end of the month, we will also pretty much know whether 2024 Americas are going to be the 2024 Europeans and the 2024 WASP Games as well. So it's a deceptively busy month. There's a lot going on with the calendar. And by the time the next edition of this pod comes around, we might be talking about some of the great venues we're going to be heading to.
Yeah, which is awesome, mate. And we just, you know, touched on Sail GP there. You know, that's been a fantastic you know, partnership that's happened. And I think the pathway is really beginning to establish there for kids under 21 coming through, and where that's headed. We've already seen a couple of our sailors come through the WASP and move on into, you know, semi full-time roles, internships with teams and things like that. So we might get a couple of those guys in the next couple of episodes and just hear a little bit about their story, mate. But you've been on the ground at a couple of events through Europe. We're going to be on the ground in Sydney and Sydney, New Zealand, and then grand final time, the big dance in San Francisco. So you know, what's the feel been like in season three?
Yeah, no, it's been wicked. I'm sure. I mean, we've talked about this before, where we say, I mean, we're not very old, but we say, oh, I wish this was around when we were
Yeah,
youth sailing. You know,
100%.
that's 10 years ago for me.
Yep.
I wonder what AMAC would have said about that. You know, it's a bit of a while since he was youth sailing. It's a
Yep.
pretty different time these days.
Yep.
But yeah, no, it's been really cool. Like, there's a massive transition over the last 10 years in the profile of sailors. You know, when I was It was only 10 years ago I was sailing a laser and just coming out of youth teams into senior teams. And the top sailors in the world, you'd sort of respected them and you saw them around and you thought that was super cool to meet them, but they didn't have this sort of celebrity status. Whereas these days, like, the kids go nuts to meet the sailors because they are full on, you know, professional celebrities. And they're getting selfies, getting autographs. It's a proper show, and Sail GP have done a great job of promoting that. So yeah, there's a real buzz around now, and it's something that I just, you know, I never really had going through my youth career, and now it's something else. So yeah, it's cool to be around. And like you say, there's a lot of people now who have been through the Inspire program who are now working for Sail GP, not necessarily even sailing, could be not even on the anything to do with the sailing team itself, but there's people who work in like the data in the background and the operations will all come through. So it's just showing how massive the industry is, and there's a lot of opportunities there for sailors, and especially for WASP sailors.
Yeah,
So
I
it's
think
awesome.
that's the biggest thing that we, you know, going back to 2019 when we first spoke to Russell about, you know, getting involved with SailGP. One of the things that I was really big on, and I know our company was really big on, was that there's such a, you know, drop off rate. You know, once you finish the youth stuff and you know you're not in that 1% that can go through to the elite squads and you know, chase that Olympic dream, and it's very expensive and you know, all of that sort of stuff. So breaking down the barriers, but then also, you know, just going, you know what, if you don't make it as a sailor, that's not the end of the world. I mean, look at yourself and myself. I mean, we weren't good enough to do it, but we love the industry, we love the sport, and we've been able to go into roles that, you know, within sailing, and we probably went in there. There's been no pathway for us to follow to get into those roles, but as you say with SailGP, apart from just the sailing roles, there's so much more in the industry that you can do, that you can stay involved with the sport and move through. And there's a pathway there, as we say, we're fostering the racing and the sailing side of things, but we're seeing a lot of our sailors, once they age out of that program, are actually going into the internships, as you say, in data, marketing, broadcast, you know, all of these things that, you know, make the show go on. And, you know, if you sit behind the scenes, I mean, people don't understand what goes on behind the scenes of these professional leagues and sports and things like that, but it is mayhem behind the scenes, and you need a lot of people working together, doing a lot of different things. And I think that that's what's really exciting, is we're actually opening the world up. There's a lot of other sports where, you know, say, you know, soccer or football in the UK, where there's options to go down coaching paths, there's development paths, there's broadcasts, there's, you know, you can do your own podcasts on things. There's so many different commercial, there's all sorts of different things that you can do within the sport and stay engaged, and you get to go to these great events. And I think that that's what SailGP has been bringing to the table. So in all honesty, if you're an under 21 sailor and you're thinking, even sitting on the fence about it, just apply, because, you know, if you don't get in on the racing side of it and don't make it, there's obviously quite a few years if you're a young sailor to be able to do that. But there's also other options in the industry, you know, that you can follow. If you're passionate about it, you know, you can really get somewhere, and there's a career there for you.
Yeah, 100%. It's important to consider that if you're a sailor who's been sailing for 10 years, say, and you've gone through the junior youth pathway, and you've had coaching through all of that time, you've probably spent some money, or your parents have spent some money. You can imagine if you added up all of that money through the time, you're spending at least 5 grand, maybe 10 grand, maybe more per year. Mm. And you put that over 10-year sailing career so far, and you've probably had 100 grand worth of coaching or investment put into your skills. Now, if you had that in any other industry, you'd be on a pretty serious salary. You know, that's a big investment in a person. And so you've actually got a lot going for you just from your sailing background in terms of all of that time you've put in. So, you know, as a base, anybody who's been sailing from a kid all the way through to WASP sailing, whatever other classes they're sailing, has already got a massive load of assets on their side. And, you know, you just need that little opportunity through SailGP, or, you know, that little bit extra, and suddenly, you know, you've got a career set up. So it's
absolutely,
yeah, it's now just giving you that chance.
And that's drifting, you know, it's drifted across into the America's Cup as well. We're looking at the youth and the women's America's Cup. You know, in all honesty, I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, in the youth America's Cup, you know, we see about 70% of the sailors would have had a touch point with the WASP at some time, at some stage. A lot of those kids would have come through the Inspire program as well, or at least had a touch point through there. It's just a great place to start your journey. In terms of foiling. And at the end of the day, if you go off and do something else and then, you know, come back and always feel part of the community and part of the family with WASP, that's what we're all about. So, you know, we want to see these people that come through the class and they go on and succeed, but always be a place like the event in Rutland. You know, if you want to just go and get a wasp and go to that event, you're going to have a lot of fun. And you know, there's hopefully events around the world where, you know, people who may have come through the class can always drift back in and have a lot of fun.